Fred Leeds Properties is responsible for its real estate operation. He directs acquisitions, development, value-added projects, and dispositions. Not sure what that means. We'll find out. Fred has a 35-year history, including over 500 successful property acquisitions, development, resales. He owns interest and oversees a national property portfolio fast approaching $1.5 billion in value. One of several notable projects include the Wilshire Union Center, the largest land parcel privately owned on Wilshire Boulevard, west of downtown Los Angeles to the beach. He owns about 300 properties comprising of about 5,000 apartments and approximately 2 million square feet of retail space, primarily in California, some in Arizona, and some in New York. Welcome to Radio Real Estate, Fred Leeds.
Thank you, Mark. I'm honored to be on your show.
Well, I appreciate it. I never heard of you. And good. You are good. You're probably happy with that because you're a titan, but you're under the radar. I don't read you. I don't hear you on the news being sued or in the LA Times. That's pretty good.
Oh, well, I don't know. I had a professor at USC who said, if you're not being sued or if you're not suing somebody, that you're not working hard enough. California is kind of sue you later. It's not see you later. Which brings up a problem that we have in real estate. It's called insurance.
Aren't you kidding? I can't even fathom. Later on, I'm going to tell you about my buddy who owns 28 units in Redlands, or he did. He's selling them off. And I just can't imagine being a property manager in today's, you know, the shift that we're having in the market with rent control. It's just unbelievable. So in reading your bio, I understand what acquisitions and development means, but what do you mean by value-added projects and dispositions?
All right, let's talk about value-add. I believe in looking for value-added opportunity. Real estate profits are made between foresight and hindsight. You have to be able to go in and see what other people don't see. It's also been said chicken shit to chicken salad. Being able to go into an area that is gentrifying and riding the wave and being a pioneer, although you have to be careful because sometimes pioneers end up with arrows in their back. There is opportunity. There's great opportunity. There has been for me in the last 50 years in real estate. And I continue to believe that there is opportunity.
But even in today's market, since, you know, the market was appreciating in 20 pre-COVID, it was, you know, I kept waiting for a correction, and then COVID happened and it poured gasoline on fire. Have you made any recent acquisitions? Or are you still buying?
I'm still buying. Mark, have you ever heard of the saying, trees don't grow to the sky? A tree might grow a foot a year for 100 years, but it doesn't mean the next 100 years it's going to grow a foot a year. So what you need to do is you need to be able to understand your marketplace. Things happen in the market. We have natural disasters. We have man-made disasters. We have opportunities that exist every day. You have to look at the capitalization rates and the cost of money, and you need to create a spread. It's a very basic formula. And I want to share this formula with you and the people that listen to your radio station, to your podcast. Very simple formula. And here goes the analysis. You need to create a spread of at least 200 bips. You have 100 bips to a point. You need to have a spread of 200 bips over and above the cost of your money. So if you're borrowing at 6%, you need to buy at an 8 capitalization rate. And if you use a little leverage, 35% down or 40% down, this would be considered positive leverage. You'd have a double-digit rate of return. If you borrow with a negative leverage, that would mean that your capitalization rate is lower than the cost of your money. And there are times that you want to do that when you buy a very distressed asset or an asset that has been improperly analyzed for its value. and we can talk about some of those deals. But the positive leverage is where you want to end up. You want to watch your debt, Mark, because debt is a drug. And I look at mortgage bankers as drug dealers. They're selling you a debt. And like a drug, it can, if it's an antibiotic, it can benefit your life. But if it's crack cocaine, it's going to destroy you. So you have to understand the use of the debt. And most people don't. It's easy. It's easy to become over-leveraged. And then you're using your debt like a bad drug.
And you had to start somewhere. I'll ask you about that in a minute. My guest, Fred Leeds of Fred Leeds Property, Leeds, LEEDS. I like your analysis, the 2-point spread, unless it's distressed. My buddy Jeff back in the 80s was going to these seminars, no money down, buy property. And I, deep down, I was thinking, that's a dream. Well, he ended up acquiring 28 units in Redlands, cleaning toilets, fixing toilets himself. And I didn't believe he was going to do it, and he did it. Now, what you're saying, you makes it sound so simple. Why doesn't everybody do it? Why, what makes you unique?
Mark, I'm not unique, but I'll tell you what I'm willing to do that a lot of people won't do. I only work half a day from 8 to 8. I put in the time. I get up early. I'm up at 4:25. I'm out of the house at 4:45. I'm at the gym at 5. I'm on the streets at 5:15 doing a 5, 6 mile run. I go back to the gym. I lift. And many of the people that I've invested with over the years are my gym friends. So you need to also figure out where your circle of influence is, if you're going to syndicate, if you're going to have partners. And having a partner can be wonderful. You can share responsibilities, you can grow together. I have some great partnerships, phenomenal partnerships. But you have to have trust and you have to believe in your partner's ability as well. You talk about these 28 units in Redlands. I want you to know, Mark, I've never seen a bad 2x4. I've just seen bad operators. There is opportunity, but you have to analyze the asset. You have to know what you're looking at. You have to understand an expense ratio. You have to understand rent control, which changes. You have to look at costs of operation. For example, I find that our cost of water in Los Angeles is 4x over Arizona. We no longer have the chance to choose the opportunity to choose our own trash companies today in Los Angeles. The city of Los Angeles, in their ultimate wisdom, broke the city down to 11 zones, handing 7 of them over to waste management. Our trash fees have gone up north of 400%. It's to me, well, I'm the named plaintiff on a class action lawsuit against the city of Los Angeles on trash fees. There are opportunities, but you have to understand the cost structure in your operation. Mark, could you ever imagine a 2-year eviction? I never, in Arizona, in 2 weeks, the eviction is over. But in California, it can be 2 years.
And we're talking about for non-payment of rent.
Well, it doesn't even have to be for non-payment of rent. It could be because you are selling your sister, your mother, or cousin every night out of your apartment. It could be based upon drug traffic. It could be based upon many things. But an eviction in Los Angeles is very difficult and very expensive. Are you building that into your equation when you're operating your apartments? You need to understand what you're doing. Otherwise, you can be upside down very quickly.
It's interesting that you mentioned partnerships, and of course you're strictly business, but I've always heard, buying a property with someone is more of a commitment than marriage. It's a real, can be fraught with unforeseen circumstances.
I heard a great saying, if partners are such a good idea, God would have one. It's not easy having a spouse. It's not easy being in business with a partner. But again, I want to tell you, I've had some great partnerships. I've been very fortunate.
My guest is Fred Leeds of Fred Leeds Properties, primarily in California. 300 properties, 5,000 units, or 5,000 doors, as they like to say in the industry, and approaching 2 million square feet of retail space. So you have a lot in downtown LA. Tell me about the first property you ever bought. How did you get the money to buy it? What did you buy? And do you still own it?
Great question. I was a sophomore in college. I got my basic educational opportunity grant money. I got my federally insured student loan money. And rather than paying my tuition, I quickly went out and bought Chuck Barris Productions, BCHK, the Gong Show, the Dating Game Show, the Newlywed Show. And I thought, this is hysterical. This is a great opportunity. I bought the stock. And before they would throw me out of the school, the college, I paid my tuition after selling the stock, and I made a few 100% on the stock. That gave me monies to invest in buying and selling and flipping cars, which I started doing in high school. I broke a car down to four variables: interior, exterior, price, and mechanics. Three out of four, you make money. So I was flipping in high school, Datsun 240Zs, year 71, 72, Volkswagen Things, again, in that time frame, 73, 74. These are cars that I could buy for $3,000, sell for $4,000, or buy for $2,000, sell for $3,500, and move them quickly. And I'd buy the LA Times on a Sunday, the Sunday LA Times on a Saturday, the Recycler. I'd get to the cars first as a college student or high school student. I'd show up with cash. I was able to buy these cars and move them. And it enabled me to build up some capital. A sophomore year of college, I bought a duplex in Capistrano Beach. I don't know how old you are, Mark, but we used to have the opportunity to take loans subject to. We had the Tucker versus Lassen and the Wellenkamp decisions. And if it was a state chartered bank, we had the ability to take a loan subject to. So it had a mortgage of $100,000. I put $20,000 down. At the time, it was cash from my flipping of automobiles. I think the escrow company was a little nervous when I showed up with $20,000 cash. Bought this property in Capistrano Beach, and with a peekaboo ocean view, and found myself driving all the way down to Capistrano Beach from West Los Angeles to fix a toilet or to paint an apartment or to do maintenance. And I found my time to be more valuable than that. So being an absentee landlord was something I didn't want to do. After several years, I was able to do a IRS 1031 exchange, exchange the equity that I had in this duplex. $360,000 is what I was able to sell it for. I exchanged it into a 12-unit apartment building and three houses in Hollywood, and across from DeLongpre Park, June and DeLongpre, which I still own to this day. So I have the equity. That property today is probably worth $4 million. So the equity has grown.
Which property? Which property is worth $4 million?
June and DeLongpre. The 12 units and the three houses. Now, when I bought the property, the three houses were crack houses across the street from a park that had drug activity. And it was pretty crazy. So I had to resolve the issue at the park with the drug problems. And the solution, I was able to call at the time Department of Parks and Recreation. I was able to get the sprinklers to be turned on at night, after 6 p.m. to 2 a.m. And it kind of cleaned out the park. And I was able to vacate the three houses and renovate them. And I have this property to this day. It's a beautifully operating property. So do I still have, I guess I still have the equity, but I did sell, and I don't sell very often. I did sell the duplex in Capistrano Beach.
That was your first property. What do you think that's worth today?
Probably in the 1.5 million range.
So you bought it subject to, you put 20,000 down, and that was kind of like a wrap maybe, and then you did a 1031 exchange 2 or 3 years later, bought 12 units and three single family homes. Do you own a lot of single family homes, or it's primarily apartments and units?
I have single family residential homes, and I have a small apartment buildings to large apartment buildings. You know, Mark, there's a story I want to tell you, I want to share with you. And I think it's a very important story for a number of reasons. When I first got into real estate, I bought the real estate reference guide for $2.95, studied it over a weekend, took the exam, got my agency license, and in 1978 went to work for Fred Sands Realtors in the investment division in West Los Angeles. And out of 1,000 agents, I was number one or number two in sales from 1978 to 86, 1986. I took my commissions. I was frugal. I saved my money. I bought buildings. I bought adjacent parcels. I did some construction, new construction, managed the properties. And that was really my foundation. When I first started out, I had a neighborhood I wanted to live in. But I didn't really have base capital to buy into this kind of an expensive neighborhood. I wanted to live in Santa Monica. I wanted to live between San Vicente and Montana and between 26th Street and Ocean Avenue. Mark, are you familiar with the neighborhood?
When I first came from New York, I was born and raised in Mount Vernon, and 1974, I hitchhiked from New York and went through California. Then in 77, I was transferring to UCSB. But I spent some time in early 1977 in Santa Monica, and I worked for a time for the Great American Food and Beverage Company. I was in the kitchen, and also for Robin's Auto Top Repair. Are those still around?
Well, I remember Robbins because I used to have some of my convertible tops done there. And it was a very strong business, a very good business.
I worked there for a week. I was driving cars, and I drove a highway patrol car, even though it had a huge sign on it said out of service. It was like driving and parting the Red Sea. I mean, people were just, it was an amazing power. And I drove Lloyd Nolan's Rolls-Royce Corniche. And I will add, you were mentioning a Datsun 240Z, my 18th birthday, driving from New York to Florida. At 10 minutes to 12 in North Carolina, I got a speeding ticket driving my buddy's 1971 or 2 240Z, and the cop didn't give me any leeway. But
1973, they put smog emissions on the 240Z and it changed the drivability of the car. 71, 72 were Mark years, great years.
do you hang out with Jay Leno and his car collection?
You know, I've met him a couple of times on the charity circuit, and he is a great man. Do I hang out with him? No. He's got an amazing car collection. I think if he were to bleed, he'd bleed oil. It's in his blood. It's who he is. And I had two grandparents that had broken wrists, and that would have been in the 1930s or 40s, Mark. They had broken wrists because they used to have to crank over the cars, and they'd backfire, and it would break your wrist.
Wow.
That was pretty common for the earlier versions of the Model T and Model A. And so cars I've always enjoyed. And I still enjoy them, although I drive an electric vehicle. I don't drive an old car. But I still do like them very, very much, especially
I'm looking hard at the Cybertruck.
Cybertruck is a great vehicle. Elon Musk builds great automobiles. Great automobiles.
My guest is Fred Leeds. Fred Leeds Property bought his first duplex, Capistrano Beach, in what year?
That would have been 1979. No, I'm sorry. No, it was much earlier than that. It was 1974.
I was just graduating high school in 1974. You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, radiorealestate.com. The guest is Fred Leeds. Property owner, manager, 5,000 apartments, 2 million square feet of retail space, California, Arizona, some in New York. I don't know what stories, what time we'll have left for some stories, but we'll do another segment with Fred Leeds. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.